Morning, everyone. That's better. You hear me okay? So God can speak through us. God can speak to us. Let's pray the Holy Spirit will come and be with us this morning and help us with all of that stuff. That's one of the oldest prayers known in the church. Come, Holy Spirit. So let's pray, come, Holy Spirit, this morning. Hopefully you can unearth some treasure from my talk, very short talk, this morning. So over the summer, we've been looking at the kingdom of God, and Jesus used parables to try and teach about the kingdom of God. And today we're looking at the parable of the treasure in the field, the parable of the pearl of great price, beautifully read out by Christine. Traditionally, these parables have been explained in terms of the value of the kingdom. Someone who comes across something incredibly valuable and special and wonderful and thinks, wow, I need this. And it's going to cost me everything. It's something that's worth my all, something that's worth my everything. Aren't we all searching for something that's worthy of our all? Aren't we all searching for something that's so special and precious that it's worthy of our everything? We all are, everyone, not just us here, everyone out there too. In these parables, it's kind of saying, well, it's the kingdom of God. That's what you're looking for. As much as we want to give our all, though, we're all on a bit of a journey with this. And some things in our lives take time for us to surrender to God. Sometimes we need a lot of assurance of God's love to let something go, to be able to trust God with our everything. I think that's true in reality. I've got a great quote here by a guy called Henry Nouwen. I might read twice because it's that good. You've found a treasure, the treasure of God's love. You now know where it is, but you're not yet ready to own it fully. So many attachments keep pulling you away. If you would fully own your treasure, you must hide it in the field where you found it. Go off happily to sell everything you own, and then come back and buy the field. You can be truly happy that you have found the treasure, but you should never be so naive as to think that you already own it. Having found the treasure puts you on a new quest for it. The spiritual life is a long and often arduous search for what you have already found. I'm going to read it again, because I think it's really good. You have found a treasure, the treasure of God's love. You now know where it is, but you are not yet ready to own it fully. So many attachments keep pulling you away. If you would fully own your treasure, you must hide it in the field where you found it. And go off happily to sell everything you own, and then come back and buy the field. And you can be truly happy that you've found the treasure. But you should not be so naive as to think you already own it. Having found the treasure puts you on a new quest for it. The spiritual life is a long and often arduous search for what you've already found. Does that resonate with anyone here? I'm sure this is something that we've all experienced on our own faith journeys. And this is why it's important that we don't judge one another, isn't it? Don't you think? This is important why we should have a lot of grace for one another. Because we all move at a different pace. And that's why love is always the most important thing. Love shows who we are and who we belong to. So, you know, I could stop the sermon there, to be honest. That's enough, isn't it? And I did think about that. But Graham's already thinking it's too short anyway, so that's even with the extra stuff I've got. So, anyway. So I've got some more to say. Yeah. And so I'm going to move on to a slightly different kind of angle. It's about parables. We've been looking at parables over the summer, haven't we? And and it says in Mark 4, verse 34, that Jesus did not speak to them except in parables. This seems to be something that Jesus did a lot of. So why did he use parables? Well, there's a convenient answer in Matthew 13, verse 13, where it says, "This is why I speak to them in parables." Yeah, he says it. And then he says, "Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand." That's his answer. I'm not sure if that really makes it much clearer, does it? Jesus is often very puzzling and very difficult to understand. Is it just me? And even in the Bible, his disciples are constantly not understanding what he's saying, as well as the people he's talking to. It's interesting, isn't it? But, I mean, I've got a theory I'm going to share with you this morning. It's not my theory. You know, when Jesus began preaching, he famously said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near," or "the kingdom of God is at hand." You might remember it that way. Now, the word repent is translated from a Greek word. I'm getting a bit of a Greek in here. Metanoia. Anyone heard that word before? A few people. Metanoia. Perhaps say it to the next person. This is the kind of thing Heather would do. Say it to the next person. Metanoia. Okay. Which means, I know that you're waiting for this, to change the way that you think. That's what it means. Okay? Change the way that you think. And Jesus used parables to help us to do just that. Parables were meant to shake us out of our current ways of thinking into a new way of thinking and a new way of seeing. You know, because God wants to show us new things. He wants to bring us to new levels of understanding of who he is and of his kingdom. That's what he wants. He wants to reveal more of himself to us. He wants to speak new things to us. After all, we're in a relationship. We're in a relationship. You know, parables were meant to shake us out of our current way of thinking into a new way of thinking, a new way of seeing. And that's why in so many of Jesus' parables, everything is so incredibly exaggerated. The amount of flour in the parable of the yeast and the dough, it's like enough for a whole town. Or the amount the servant owes the king in the parable of the unforgiving servant, it's an astronomical amount of money. How would he ever owe him that much money? They're all really over the top. There's a reason for that. Jesus didn't want these stories to fit comfortably into what people already thought. He wanted to destabilize their current way of thinking. One of the parables we're looking at today starts with "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant." Now, merchants to us, very respectable and useful in our society. People who buy stuff and sell stuff. We all want stuff, right? But back then, not so much. Not so much. They weren't seen that way at all. If I was to rephrase the parable today, I would say something like, "The kingdom of heaven is like a wheeler dealer." "The kingdom of heaven is like Del Boy." It would sound a bit like that. Straight away, it gets your attention, doesn't it? What? The kingdom of God's like a wheeler dealer? Straight away, a normal mode of thinking is unsettled. And so begins the journey of metanoia, or repentance. You know, gradually, as old ways of thinking lose their grip, we're able to see with new eyes what once seemed mysterious and unfathomable to us. Things become clearer, begin to move into a new level of understanding. That's the genius of parables. That's how they work. They destabilize us, and as we lose our grip on the old ways of thinking, we begin to see things in a new way. It's a bit like how after Jesus is resurrected, Mary encounters him outside of the tomb. And we all know the story, don't we? She thinks he's the gardener. Then he says a name, and she swoons. And it's kind of, we all know that lovely encounter. And then you get to this line where Jesus says to her, "Do not cling to me." And you kind of think, well, that spoils the moment a little bit. Doesn't it? It really stands out when he says that to her. "Do not cling to me," he says. But you know, Mary wanted to relate to him as he was. It was not the same as it was. That's a Harry Styles, just to engage the youngsters in the room. It was not the same as it was for Mary. Something new had happened. Jesus had been resurrected. Now things were very different, very different. She couldn't relate to him the same way that she related to him before. She had to let go of her previous experiences so she could encounter the risen Jesus in a new way. C.S. Lewis wrote some books about Narnia. Some of you may have read them. I once heard someone say this, say that you can't get back into Narnia the same way twice. We need fresh revelation to survive in this game. We need fresh revelation to keep going in our faith. Jesus said when he was in the wilderness being tested, "Man does not live on bread alone, every word that comes from the mouth of God." In the wilderness, the Israelites had manna from heaven, fresh bread every day. Yesterday's bread is not enough. We need fresh bread to survive, fresh revelation to survive. And in light of these thoughts on parables, and also the parables we're looking at today, this is my conclusion. What time is it? Is it quick? You know, I wonder if the treasure and the pearl are the new things that God has in store for us. The new things, revelations that God wants to show us about him, about his kingdom. They're waiting to be found by us, waiting to be discovered by us today. You know, and the price that we have to pay is that we must let go of some of our past experiences. Or surrender some of our current ways of thinking to be able to experience and encounter God in a new way and with fresh understanding. As Jesus said, repent. Remember what repent means. Metanoia. Change your thinking. The kingdom of God is at hand. That was true then. It's also true now. Amen.